Welcome to the podcast of Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania. To find out more about Fellowship Church, visit fellowshipefc.org.
Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Welcome again to the Fellowship Church podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jacob Brown, and I'm joined by my awesome, wonderful, good-looking co-host, Chris Mott. Mm. What's up, brother?
What's going on, Jake? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good, all things considering, you know, with quarantine still going on.
Still riding out the COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a little rough, but, you know, I don't know, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're kind of, I don't want to say that we're not worried about it at all, but, you know, it looks like the cases and the number of cases are going down day by day. So, you know, we're kind of a little bit hopeful that maybe we'll get, you know, the yellow light and then the green light.
Yeah.
So we're just looking forward to that time when, you know, we can just basically live life as normal, go back to normal, not have to wear a face mask and feel like you can't breathe and, you know, wear plastic gloves and all the rest. So, we're looking forward to that time, and I feel like it's on the horizon.
Yeah, I think we're getting there. This is mid-May, and for our county, I think they said like at the end of May or early June. I don't know. I could be off on that. That's just hearsay,
honestly. I think it was, early June. I think June 4th was the last date that I heard, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. Yeah. I'm not sure things will ever go back to what we might have thought as normal. Mm, no. I was just talking to my wife about it, and I was like, I feel like this might be, like, one of those turning points in history for us. I don't know. I could be totally off on that. I don't know anything about pandemics and stuff, but what things will happen. But I mean, there's like pre 9/11 and now there's like post 9/11,
right?
You know, like everything changed, like our airports changed and travel changed and, you know, just tons of differences. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was only 11 mm-hmm. at the time, so I'm not sure I really knew what was going on in the world, but I know there was a difference in how things happen.
No, there definitely is.
So I feel like that there honestly might be a new normal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all right. You know, that's what we're going to have to live with and adjust to. And so, but I know this has been a really hard time for everybody. Mm. Harder for some, honestly, you know, than most. Well, harder for some than others, I should say. You know, losing jobs, not knowing where you're going to be able to, you know, you go to the store. Yeah, you know, if you do get to the store, being able to find food, mm-hmm. As there's just been shortages on everything. People get into that fear mode and they just start hoarding everything. I think we've become really irrational, you know. Someone shared a picture of someone with like 7-8 jugs of milk. Like, are you really going to be able to drink 7-8 jugs of milk?
Nah, it's probably all going to go bad before you get that far. But
or maybe they're buying for other people.
You like to think that.
So, but still, overall, people become irrational in these times, mm-hmm. and so we just have to look for something, I think, outside of our context, outside of our circumstances, to hold on to have hope. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think things get dark, and so we turn inward, we turn very dark ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned the verse, we can do things through grumbling, right? We can become very cynical and pessimistic, and very negative outlook on life, you know, when you're stuck at home and all you only see is bad stuff and the news is always just bad stuff. And we're already kind of inclined to be that way because of our fallen nature of sin. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think we're definitely inclined to be that way. I think that it's kind of built. It's in our nature. It's in our sin nature to grumble and complain all the way through. And I can, you know, I'm for one, I know I could speak for myself positively when I say that, you know, I could get shown the most amazing of signs or get taken care of so well by the Lord and have it obviously be from the Lord. And then the next day I'm caught in the grip of, you know, fear and anxiety. And I'm grumbling at my job, you know, and or I'm, you know, complaining about something. And it's like, you know, we're just, I feel like I am so quick to just look around and look at all the bad stuff and just completely ignore just the life sustaining grace that is given by God every single day. You know what I mean? From the moment you wake up, that's a grace. It's a grace to draw breath.
Yeah.
You know, it's a grace to walk outside. And especially now as the weather's getting nice, to see the trees in bloom and the birds and just to feel the heat of the sun on your skin. I mean, you know, it's, we got to look to that stuff constantly and be reminded of it.
Yeah.
But you know, through reading scripture, we are reminded to do stuff like that, to be renewing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is observing the glory of God through enjoying what he created, you know, and,
yeah.
and it just goes, it touches every aspect of life, to make a decision and to be in prayer about, you know, just not grumbling and complaining and not, not grumbling and complaining, you know, especially places like, you know, your job or,
yeah.
When you go to the store and there's no toilet paper and you can't get any toilet paper, like even stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. The last time I went to Garrity's, though, I did notice that the toilet paper shelves were fully stocked.
Were they fully stocked? We're finally over the shortage.
Yeah.
We're not all going
to
die. We're
starting to get things
for lack of toilet paper.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Yeah. Now, I think that's a good summary of what we kind of want to talk about more. Let's expound on that. You know, our tendency towards complaining and grumbling and, and then let's talk about why, like what's at the heart of that, you know, what does it reveal about us?
Mm.
And then we can get into, like, instead of what should, like you mentioned about the grace and the mercies of God, what should we be putting our hope in instead of looking at the negative and the complaining? And then how do we do that? What do we need to be doing in order to have that renewal of the mind? How do we renew our mind? What are some things we can dwell on instead of looking at the negative?
Mm.
And so for me, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think, you know, maybe we should just start right. Like, I know I'm not coming at this as an expert on how to not complain.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm same coming here at this as an expert of how I complain, right?
Yeah.
It's something I struggle with daily.
Mm-hmm.
Especially right now, my circumstances, I should be thanking God every day that I have a job.
Mm.
I am one of those few people whose workplace was deemed essential. But yet every day I find myself complaining about the job I have. My workplace is a very difficult workplace. I'll say this. There's a lot of problems. Everybody knows at my place of employment, there's lots of problems. And no one's looking for solutions. And so everyone in my place of employment is all day, every day, grumbling and complaining about work.
It would be very easy to join in on that.
It is.
Chorus. Yeah.
It's very easy every day to do that. And I'm finding myself more and more convicted of that.
Mm. What can we do in the face of that? Like if, you know, if you're at work and you're already kind of having a bad day, prone to start complaining, and then you have complaining coworkers, and rather than decide to join in with them, I mean, what do you think is something that you could do to not do that?
I think a lot of it depends on how you start your day, right? I think a lot of it depends on setting your mind on the things above and on the things of earth.
Absolutely, man.
So, and I think we can talk about that, like, more, you know.
You think it's got to start, I agree with you, I think it's got to start with a certain attitude yeah. towards the day, but especially your attitude towards seeking the Lord before anything else.
Yeah.
Before looking at our entertainment in right. the morning, before, you know, even yeah. looking at the weather, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, what's captivating our thoughts when we wake up.
Right.
And I think that's good. So, So I'm not coming at this as, here's how I'm an expert on this.
No, definitely like, not. Neither of us are.
This is a humble admission and confession of, this is a problem. And so Chris and I want to talk about this because we both struggle with it. And we want to figure out, you know, why. Because a doctor, before he can, you know, give a good diagnosis, he needs to see everything. He needs to see what's happening. And then he can give the diagnosis. And before he can treat, you know, he can't give a treatment unless he knows what's wrong. And so why are we doing this so often? What's it revealing about our hearts? And what should we do instead? So why do you think, like, what does complaining about our work, what does complaining about our circumstances and having to stay at home and kids screaming and going wild and not getting along, what does it reveal about us?
You mean in how we deal with it?
Yeah, like what's it revealing about our soul? What's it revealing about our heart when we complain?
Oh, when we complain, I mean, we're not trusting in the Lord. I mean, we're coming at things from a human understanding. You know, when maybe the thing that's causing you in your mind to think that you have a source of complaining, whether it be like a job, the job is your source of complaining, or maybe an illness is the source of your complaining. You know, it's a possibility that the Lord has that in your life to make you more Christ-like, to, you know, point you to Him, in the face of those sorts of things and complaining or illness, complaining about a job. I mean, like, you know, I'm very prone to complain at work. I mean, you know, if it's the second it starts getting like rainy outside or hot outside, I am in my mind, I'm just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want anything to do with this. But, you know, for all the complaining that I've taken part into myself and probably and to others over the course of time at my job, I've been shown a lot of things and how to endure. And taught a lot of lessons about endurance. And I think I've been taught those lessons by God, you know, and it's definitely learning those lessons that have been taught to me by God has spilled over and informed the rest of my life and the rest of my decision-making. Because I'm understanding that, you know, God has my best interests in mind. And sometimes that involves, you know, going through something hard and coming out on the other side with more endurance, with more strength, and with your belief being strengthened in God because He delivered you or delivers you daily, you know? So,
yeah, that's good. I kind of think about what is complaining, you know, like what's in an outwork, you know? I think it really comes from, like you said, like not trusting God, but also it unsatisfied heart, an angry heart. I, you know, same thing, like it could be a great day at work, you know, easy job. But once a problem happens or once, something doesn't go the way I like it to go, then I complain. So what that tells me is that something happened against my will, what I wanted. And so that makes me not happy. And so now I'm frustrated and I'm angry about that. And so I'm going to lash out through complaining and grumbling. And honestly, who I'm angry at is not the situation. It's God.
Why would you say that?
Well, if God is sovereign over everything, then everything that happens, happens because God is in control of it. We have tons of examples of this in the scriptures. Job is a huge example. Yeah. God. We see Satan's the one who's doing all this stuff, mm-hmm. but Satan has to get a permission slip from God to do these things, and then God lets him, and Job mm-hmm. recognizes it was God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So even in his negative circumstances, he blessed the name of right. the Lord.
Yeah, whereas his wife says, curse God and die. Joseph, right? Joseph, his brothers did all this evil stuff to him. Mm-hmm. He was sold into slavery. He was, put in prison wrongfully because of Potiphar's wife. In all those circumstances, we know the end story is that he was able to save Israel by becoming the second command by interpreting the Pharaoh's dreams. Mm-hmm. And what's he say to his brothers? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Mm-hmm. And he even uses the word, and David in the Psalms, reflecting back on it, uses the phrase, God sent Joseph to Egypt. Mm. So Joseph God. Unwillingly was in slavery and was taken to Egypt, but it says God sent him there.
Right. That's an interesting way to think about it.
You see this all throughout scriptures. Mm. God causing these things that are what we would view as negative in our life, but he's doing it to bring about good, an ultimate good. So God's in control. So when I'm upset and I'm complaining about my circumstances, I'm complaining about this person who is not driving as fast as I want them to drive in front of me, I'm actually angry at God, and I'm not loving my neighbor. Mm. And I'm not being thankful for all that God's done in my life. That's what it's revealing to me in my heart.
You ever have one of those days where it's like you're complaining and your bad attitude is like seemingly on autopilot? You wake up late for work, yep. your coffee maker's broke,
yep.
and then you get stuck behind the slow guy in traffic,
mm-hmm.
and you find that...
Hit every red light.
Every red yeah. light, yeah. yeah. It's just like, it sounds like it's we're joking around in a dumb way. It is funny because it's so relatable, but, what I think about myself in that situation, I'm genuinely angry. I'm super mad, and I'm ready to bang the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why does everything seem like it's against me today? Yeah. It's crazy.
But who's in control of all that?
Right. Yeah.
Like there's a sovereign. It's not like God's asleep.
No.
And he's his never alarm asleep. Didn't go off. So he's there. He's in control of all of it. He's orchestrating it. So that it's conforming us more like Christ and revealing to us the sinfulness of our hearts.
Yeah, and that should cause us to, to confess that sin of that bad attitude and that unthankfulness, that unbelief in God's plan for your life.
Exactly, yeah. I think that brings us to, so we have this tendency of complaining, being ungrateful, grumbling, especially in really bad circumstances. It's funny, I was actually just reminded just now of the Israelites. We'll read the Bible, we're reading Exodus, and we're reading about God doing all these plagues and bringing them out of Egypt, and he just brought them out, right? Mm. You have the Passover with the killing of the firstborn sons, and they're brought out, and they're free. And they're brought to the Red Sea, and immediately when they see Pharaoh's army, you brought us out here to die.
Yeah.
And then they get to the Red Sea, and immediately they start begin grumbling and complaining about their not having food or whatnot. And it's this constant thing where God does a miraculous redeeming work in their lives, and they're like, oh God, you're so great. We thank you. We love you. Thank you for saving us.
2 seconds later.
And then they complain.
Golden calf.
And I'm just like, that's me every day.
Yeah. No, well that's also revealing to us how good God is to us as his people. I mean, he's constantly providing for us and listening to us complain, but still provides for us.
Yeah.
Before kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden, what did he do? He clothed them.
There's
myriad examples of that sort of thing in scripture. It's everywhere. Amen. Listening to our complaints, but still being the loving father. So that's important to remember, I think.
Yeah, man. And so Yeah, I think focusing on that, starting our day off with that, we have to get this right at the beginning of the day. I know some people say that, you know, they're not morning people, they'd rather do it at nighttime. And I'm not saying that there's a formula or you have to do it this way, but I know, like, especially for me, if my mind is not set on Christ from the beginning, I'm doomed. I'm planning to fail. And that's what we need to be putting our hope in. We need to be having that right understanding of when something bad happens, saying God's sovereign, you know. And now I think that treading carefully here with that, because there are some really tragic things that happen in people's lives.
Yes.
The death of people, an untimely death, you know, like, right, like, we don't really like, you know, death at all, but especially when someone dies very unexpectedly, or you get cancer or some, you lose your job unexpectedly, things like that. I don't think it would be the best and wisest thing to go up to them and say, well, you know, God is sovereign over this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd have to approach it a little bit differently. There,
yes. You need to couch it in his love and grace, and you need to comfort them. His comfort, right? Like, and there is time to lament and mourn. And so we need to do so appropriately and not just be abrasive. Like, God's sovereign, so just get over it. No, that's not what we're saying at all. But we do need to comfort ourselves with that, with God is sovereign over a situation. That gives me great comfort to know that God is sovereign over everything. If God's not sovereign over coronavirus, then there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If something's outside of God's control, then what else is?
But again, that comfort, like, you could even just say God is sovereign, but that wouldn't mean anything to anybody unless they saw the examples of why he takes care of us and how he takes care of us through scripture and how good he is to us. Like, he is sovereign, he is in control of everything, but he is also a good and loving God.
Right.
So that is, I think that's important. Like, you were saying about approaching somebody from the level of his comfort and everything like that. If they're dealing with an untimely death or cancer or those sort of
coronavirus.
Examples.
Coronavirus. Yeah, like right now. Sure. It reminds me, like, what you just said is spot on. You know, there's a professor of mine who would say, two truths keep us going. God is good and God is sovereign.
Mm.
If God is sovereign but not good, well, he's a tyrant.
Mm.
But if God is good and not sovereign, well, I mean, he's powerless, and why would I go to him? But because he's good and sovereign, we know we can trust him through every single circumstance.
Amen.
And so that's what we got to focus on. I really recommend at this time on the YouVersion Bible app, there's a devotional reading plan on there by John Piper. It's called Coronavirus in Christ. It's a 9-day reading plan. You read his devotion, you read a portion of scripture that correlates with that, and then you talk about it. You can do it with other friends, or you can do it by yourself. But I've done it twice now. I've done it by myself, and I did it with my wife. I've thoroughly enjoyed it both times. And kind of his thesis throughout the thing is, the same God who is sovereign over coronavirus and that could stop it but doesn't stop it is the same God who is sovereign to sustain the soul through coronavirus. And not just sustain it, he says, but also sweetens it.
Mm.
That we can have joy and rejoice, yet be sorrowful. And so that has been tremendous help to me during this time, is focusing on that.
That's a really great point.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. I'm gonna have to go through that.
Yeah,
it's really good. I have not yet.
So let's talk about practically. We got, you know, a few more minutes here. Let's talk about some practical steps of how to fight against complaining during these times. or just in general, but just especially in these times of great trial and, and affliction and suffering. What do we need the most above everything else?
We need the word.
Yeah.
That's what we need most above all else. And I think it, something practical could really be just like when you wake up, when you rise, go to God immediately, start your day off, soaked in his word and his truth, because, you know, whether you do that or not, you're primed to hear a lot of lies throughout the day, come in various forms, various worldviews that aren't true, because we know the true one, according to the Bible. So starting your day in the word, that really primes you to not let that stuff bug you or bother you or infiltrate your mind and possibly lead you down the wrong road. But also according to what we were talking about earlier, as far as like grumbling and complaining goes, it primes you to withstand the temptation to complain and to despair, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think that would be a super practical step in, in doing this.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we think about the gospel as something that brings us into Christianity, right? It's what saves us. And then we don't talk about this out loud, but we kind of think we move on to something else, right? We got to move on to other things to, you know, be better at, you know, not complaining, or to get us through each day to be better people. But really, it's the gospel that not just brings us into salvation and Christ and Christianity, but it's what keeps us, right? It's what sustains us every day. Or as someone said, the daily gospel. We need the gospel daily, every day. We need to preach it to ourselves every day. The gospel is not just for evangelizing lost people. It's to strengthen Christians' faith each day. It's to strengthen my faith.
And it keeps us on the straight and narrow, because it reminds us that it isn't what we do, because we can't do anything, you know. Amen. But as humans in our fallen nature, and I mean the way our society praises it, you know, you're able to decide your own destiny. You're able to get, you know, if you're able to get all this stuff done, you're better than the next person, you know what I mean? So we are live in a culture that teaches us that, but that's why the gospel, I think, is so counterintuitive to, you know, the modern person in society who has never heard it, because they're like, well, you know, I don't, like, it's not what I do, it's not my performance, you know, but that there's hope in that. And, you know, for all sorts of scenarios, like, it isn't you, it's what Christ did.
Yeah.
That's so hopeful, and could attribute, or you could use that in a multitude of different situations, from dealing with complaining and grumbling to if you found out that you have cancer, you know, like, just knowing that he is the soul sustainer, he is the, was the enabler of our faith, is the worker of our faith, is the, you know, the beginning and the end, and decides all and is totally in control.
Yeah.
And holds us in that. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right. It is counterintuitive to think that I can, that what's going to help me stop complaining is thinking about Jesus dying for my sins and raising from the dead 2,000 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
Like, some event so far removed is the thing that I need most today, right now. It's what I need to remember. What God has done, rehearsing that I was a rebel against God, that I was lost in my sin and deserving, rightly deserving God's justice on my life and condemnation. Yet here comes the Son of God, Jesus, the perfect, sinless lamb, who willingly sacrifices himself to take my place, and so I can have his righteousness, makes me a child of God, who gives me, who God adopts me to his family. God gives me the spirit of his son to indwell me. He gives me a new heart, who opens my mind to know him and to love him and who keeps me. Mm. No matter, like you said, no matter what I do, my best deeds are like filthy rags. No matter what I do, he's going to keep me and sustain me. He's going to continue to make me more like Christ. That's what I need now. That's what I need to remember. And that I will forever be his. And that when I die, that's not the last word.
Amen, dude. Yeah.
I will be one day resurrected,
yeah.
dwelling in his new creation
yeah.
forever.
And that is our gospel hope. But if you don't have anything else to add, I guess we'll end this episode.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you guys liked it, make sure to share this podcast on all your social media outlets. And this has been the Fellowship Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.